And Happy New Year's, and I hope that you enjoyed our Christmas start to our Epiphany Sunday. Much thanks to our praise band in leading that time together here. My name is Jeremy Africa, and as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church, whether you're in the sanctuary or joining us on the church's live stream, I welcome you on behalf of those who are helping to lead today's service. As we get started in worship, I thought we'd highlight a few announcements within the church. And with it being the start of a new year, I thought we might start by highlighting some of the groups that we have here at the church that you might consider perhaps starting a new group or new ministry here at the church or joining in. And so I'm going to hand things off first to Gabrielle Cook-Mekelvena, who serves as our music director.
I want to thank you for being a huge support for the music ministry program here. We can't do it without your support, and so thank you to you, and thank you to our faithful musicians who donate and volunteer all of their time and talents and gifts for the enjoyment of not just you, but also the community. And so as the new year begins, we have a couple of opportunities for you if you are a music lover or if you happen to have an instrument sitting somewhere in your house that probably needs to be dusted off, and you're looking for something to fill your time. Here are three groups that are open to having some newcomers come in. We have Joyful Bells, who now rehearse on Sunday evenings in the Bell Room at 7. That group is led by Nathan Snyder. We do request that if you join that group, you already know how to read music. Our second group is the Chancel Choir, who rehearse on Thursday evenings in the choir room at 7 p.m. They are learning lots of different genres of sacred music under the direction of Miss Carla. And then lastly, Praise Band, who are not rehearsing this week because we're finally having a Christmas party. So next Tuesday will be our first rehearsal of this year, and we rehearse in this space at 7 p.m. We encourage you to bring a guitar if you don't have one. We will give you one. If you want to learn how to play drums, we can teach you. If you would like to learn how to play bass, we can teach you how to do that too, or you can sing. So we have lots of opportunities for lots of beginners and intermediate and advanced musicians. If you are interested in any of these groups, or if you have an idea for a new music group, I encourage you to talk to myself or to talk to Nathan, who is here today. He is our Bell Program Director. Thank you.
Thank you for highlighting those opportunities, Gabrielle. I was hoping that trombone would make that list for the praise band. I have some middle school skills that need dusting off, but welcome you to join these groups as you are interested. Next, I'm going to hand things off to Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, who serves as our associate pastor with opportunities for other small groups.
Pastor Bethany. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, there are many other opportunities. We have My Bible Study, which meets at 2 p.m. on Tuesday afternoons. We will begin studying 1 Peter on January 13th. And then Pastor Jeremy's Bible Study meets at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesdays. They are using the Wired Word curriculum, which looks at current events and the Bible. And that group meets on a week-to-week basis and is also welcoming newcomers. And then our S3 group meets on Tuesday afternoons at noon. And they, S3 stands for Study, Serve, and Socialize. And so they do each of those three things in succession, week to week. And then we have our men's group that meets at 11 a.m. on Fridays in the hearth room. And so if you have interest in joining any of those, we invite you to call the office and let us know so that we can connect you with the leaders. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Bethany. And this really represents just the surface of all the opportunities to live out your faith, to engage your faith and grow in your faith. And so I encourage you to reach out to Pastor Bethany or Gabrielle as you've heard these opportunities, or just call the church office. We'll be happy to connect you with a ministry and give you that opportunity to engage further in the life of the church. One last announcement I want to bring to your attention this morning is that I will be off next week, so January 5th through the 11th. During this time, if you have a pastoral care need or emergency, invite you to reach out to Pastor Bethany or our church office, and we will be sure to care for you. And also, if you'll note, Pastor Bethany will be leading worship and then preaching this coming Sunday as well. With that, I'm going to point your attention to the weekly e-blast. These are weekly emails that are sent out from the church office to help you know all that's happening in the life of the church. If you aren't yet receiving those, I encourage you to reach out to the church office, and we'll be happy to add you to the distribution list.
Please remain standing for the call to worship. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, from heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and you're coming in from this time forevermore.
I invite you to remain standing as you're able and to join us in our opening song. There's a song in the air. You'll find this on page 249 of the hymnals in the pewbacks or on the screen in front of you.
Sorry about that, everybody. We're just decorating for our birthday party, aren't we? Right? All right. All of our friends are here today. I'm so happy to see everybody. Thank you for your wonderful. I was wondering if we can sing happy birthday to our, we're having a birthday celebration in Sunday school. Can you guys help me out and sing happy birthday, congregation? Who wants to start it? Pastor Bethany, can you start it? Okay.
Happy birthday to you. yesterday.
Get one? All right, come on over, guys. Yay! Thank you, guys. So we have a whole bunch of birthdays this year, right? What's our youngest one here? I think that would be Eliza, right? And she's, what, going to be one this year, right? And Edison, how old are you going to be?
I'm 12.
You're 12. Oh, my goodness. So we have all the way from 1 to 12, don't we? All right, in Sunday school today, we are going to do a couple Bible verses on birthdays. One's on Numbers. We're also going to study a little bit about grace in the Word. I know, we're so excited. So let's get our... All right, ready to get our do a birthday prayer, guys? All right, let's do a quick birthday prayer, and we'll head back to Sunday school. I can get that. You want one? There you go. I was going to do birthday prayer. All these wonderful. All right. So what do you guys want to do for your birthday celebration today? You guys have any ideas for what we're going to do today? Aria, what are we going to do today? What do you want to do today? We're going to eat cake. That's all we're going to do? All right. All right. Well, I can't find it on my phone, so much for putting something on my phone real quickly. Let's do a quick prayer anywhere. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this awesome day. May you bless our children as we watch them grow. We pray for everybody who's been praying for us. We pray for the congregation. We pray for everybody that's been ministering to us over this last year. We hope that you will help our children to recognize your word, to grow in your glory this year, and to have a fabulous year as we study more about you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, let's go to Sunday school.
So aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more at night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. And like the blind man that God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light.
As we come to a time of offering, I invite you to take the red friendship pads at the end of your pew and sign them and then send them down to the end of the row so that your neighbors can sign them. And then if you don't know who you're sitting with, take a look to see who's in your pew. We love to get to know our neighbors. We love to get to know who's here and follow up accordingly. And then I invite you to reflect on the ways that God has blessed you this week. If the ushers will please come forward.
Hey.
Lord, we give you thanks for every blessing that you have given to us. And we know that all we have to give in any way is all that you have already given to us. Lord, we pray that you would use these gifts to further your kingdom and to bless your people. And we pray that your light would shine throughout the world. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. And so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our reading this morning from Ephesians 1, which Pastor Bethany just read, reminds me of Leon. Leon proudly served in the United States Army before teaching as a middle school teacher for nearly 30 years in the city of Flint. By the time that I had crossed paths with Leon at one of the churches I served along the way, he was, for the most part, wheelchair-bound. A childhood disease had taken its toll over his lifetime, and he was largely dependent on his motorized wheelchair. But don't be mistaken. Far from letting this limit Leon, it fueled one of his passions in life. Whether in the church or in the community, Leon was devoted to making places as accessible as they should be for all. So, for example, at the church, Leon advocated making the building universally accessible. Leon made sure that the church had the appropriate number of handicapped parking spaces by each entrance. He served as a consultant when the church decided to install power-assisted doors, and he was spirited in reminding leaders. Spirited sounds good on a Sunday, doesn't it? But he was spirited in reminding us as church leaders to make the sanctuary as accessible to everybody when we serve communion, for Christ has invited all to this table. All this and more. Leon would often say, every one of us is temporarily able. If you think about how we age or if we think about life's events, all of us are temporarily able. More so than many of us, he realized the fleeting nature of experience. Leon recognized the importance of being thankful for the many things that we might take for granted. Making one's way from the parking lot into a building, or finding a welcoming space in a room full of seats, even making one's way forward to the communion table. For Leon, these were aspects of our life that were not to be taken for granted, but ones to be grateful for. There's a reason why certain sayings become a cliche. Sayings like, the grass is always greener on the opposite side of the fence. You know it. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And you don't know how good you have it until it's gone. We know all these sayings, and there's a reason why. Each of these cliches reinforce the idea of how easy it is to stumble into taking certain aspects of our life for granted. I bring all this up because I think it's possible to do the very same thing with God's presence in our life. That it's easy to take for granted what God brings into our lives, even in what God has given us through the giving of God's only Son. After all, I'm guessing that no one walked away from our Christmas Eve services surprised. Hardly a surprise that the Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus, swaddling him in cloths and laying him in a manger. Probably nobody was surprised at what took place in the fields that night, or that the shepherds rushed off rejoicing. Whether we intend it or not, it's possible. It's possible that we grow numb to the difference God makes in our lives. I might even argue that for some of us who have grown up in the church for a lifetime, even more possible to take for granted the difference God is making in our lives. Ephesians, which we turn to today, is an intriguing book in the New Testament, the latter half of the Bible. On the surface, it appears to be written by the Apostle Paul, someone who has a number of letters contained within the New Testament. In this instance, the church he seems to be writing to is Ephesus, which is located on the western coast of modern-day Turkey. And yet some Bible scholars are quick to point out that there are some aspects of Ephesians, some aspects of this letter that differ, that are different from Paul's other writings. For one thing, some of the earlier copies or some of the earlier manuscripts of this letter leave out the name of the church that Paul is writing to it. So it leaves out mentioning Ephesus. It's also noted that unlike some of his other letters, this letter seems to lack the personal connection with those he is writing to. Finally, scholars also pointed out that while the ideas in this letter very much look like Paul's, the language that he uses to express them or the grammar that he uses in this letter differ from the other letters. And so some have called into question, is this Paul writing it himself, or is it a writing attributed to him? This was a common practice for key figures or certain communities or traditions back in the time of Jesus and when the Bible was being written. Whatever the case might be, whether it's written truly by Paul's hand or written in his name, there's nothing to take away from us being stirred, from us having a spirit of gratitude in hearing these words, where it comes to the difference that God's presence in our life, that God's grace can make in our lives. See, Ephesians opens up with a litany or a volley of thanks. Verses 3 through 14 in chapter 1 is one long, continuous outpouring of gratitude. As one commentator writes, it's as though the author, so caught up in the wonder of God's work through Christ on our behalf, simply could not stop for breath. They are just in awe and wonder of what God is doing in our lives. If you're a parent of an 11-year-old or someone younger or someone in that area, you know what that's like. They come home from school, they come home from an event, and they want to tell you all about it. And it's going 100 miles an hour, and you almost have to say, whoa, 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 breathe, right? My poor son, as my hearing gets less and less, I can hardly keep up. So breathe, breathe. But there's an excitement, there's a gratitude that underlies what Paul is saying here. In fact, Paul, or whoever wrote this letter, covers several of the ways that God shows up in our lives. Several ways we can point to how God is with us. He speaks of our adoption as God's children, that we are given a right standing before God because of what Christ has done for us, that we have been adopted by God as one of God's own. Paul speaks of our redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. While we hold on to those paths in our lives, those habits in our lives, those tendency in our lives to stray from the path that God has for us, Paul reminds us that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed by God, by Jesus' death and resurrection. Paul even speaks of God's generosity in making known to us the mystery of God's will. In other words, we know of God and we know of God's goodness, not by ourselves, not by our own thinking, not by our own doing, but because God has revealed this to us, how God is at work in our lives. Paul even touches upon how through the Holy Spirit, we can be assured that God makes everything work out according to plan, according to God's plan. How many of us need that reminder as we start the new year? That everything works out. According to God's plan. So with this portrait from Paul of every spiritual blessing from God, my question for you today is this. Where and how is God showing up in your life today? Where and how is God showing up in your life today? And in what tangible ways, day to day, are you expressing your gratitude to God? What's going on in your life where you know it wouldn't be happening unless God was with me, or God had a plan for me, or God was making a difference? And how are we showing our gratitude, or how are we expressing our gratitude in response? Are you open to living in the uncertainty of faith? Ran across that in a recent devotional. You know, some of us, okay, talking about myself, we love certainty. But life doesn't allow it, much less our faith. If we can be certain of where we're going or how it's going to be turned out, is it really faith? Are you willing to express your gratitude by surrendering all? We do a good job sometimes of surrendering most, right? But where it comes to surrendering all, to surrendering what we cherish the most, those we love the most, that which we care about the most, are we surrendering it all? Are we storing up treasures in heaven or here on earth? The reason for asking is not to guilt you or to shame you into anything. Recognizing how pervasive and harmful these are, I've never been a big proponent of these motivators. The reason for my asking is it is my hope that we would not forget. That we would not forget how much we are loved, how much we are accepted, how much we are blessed. That we would live according to the knowledge that God has already imparted to us through Jesus Christ and in Paul's words, through every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, that we would not forget. That this is how God is showing up in our lives. This is how God is showing up in the church, and this is how God is still showing up in the world. On this somewhat uncommon occurrence of having two Sundays within the Christmas season, or as at least how the church defines it, Christmas season in the church being Christmas through Epiphany, with this uncommon occurrence of having two Sundays in this Christmas season, we have the opportunity as the church to dwell in the glow of Jesus' birth a little bit longer. We've heard that in our music today, haven't we? From the very beginning of our time together up to now. We're still lingering at the manger, and we're still considering what difference can Jesus make in my life. It was early on in our movement that Methodists began each year in a purposeful way. Each year reflecting on their commitment to God, they conducted what has become known as a covenant service. And in a coming together of English Puritanism and John Wesley's theology, we have what we refer to as today as a covenant prayer in the Wesleyan tradition. You'll find a copy of that prayer in your bulletin this morning. This morning, I'm going to invite us to pray this prayer together. We'll pray the revised version of this prayer. And I'm going to invite us to pray this prayer together in as much as a means of committing ourselves to God or to our faith in the new year, but also that we might express our gratitude, that we might share in a prayer that expresses gratitude for the light coming into the world that remains with us. And that is the very foundation of our hope today. Whether it is where we are today or where we hope to go in the new year. If you're not familiar with this prayer, you'll find that it really does speak to surrendering to God. It really does speak to the difference God can make, wishes to make in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, as those who want to know God more, as those who want to share God's presence around us. And so as we end this time together of the message, I invite you to take that bulletin insert in your hand and to flip to the side that has the revised prayer. The words will also be on the screen behind me. And I invite you to pray this prayer as a way of starting out the new year, as a way of expressing your gratitude to God for, yes, the birth of Jesus and the presence he brings into our lives and for the possibilities ahead of each of us in the new year. So let us pray. I am not my own self-made, self-reliant human being. In truth, O God, I am yours. Make me into what you will. Make me a neighbor with those whom you will. Guide me on the easy path for you. Or brought low for you, whether I become full or empty, or with nothing, I give all that I have and all that I am for you. So be it. And may I always remember that you, O God, and I belong to each other. Amen. I invite us to continue in a spirit of prayer. God, your presence and love show up in our lives in exciting ways. And in those moments that we catch a glance at your light, sometimes gratitude does bubble up within. And like Paul, we get going and can hardly catch our breath and saying thanks. And there are other times, O Lord, where the day-to-day, whether it is the rush or the minutiae, whether it's the busyness or the seemingly endless trek through life, our senses, our spirit, become numb to you. And we lose track of what you are doing in our lives. How reliant we are on you. How good you are. And the difference you are making. Lord, as we step into this new year, open us up individually to the dreams, to the possibilities that you have for each of us, to grow in different ways, to experience unexpected joys, to find unexpected courage, to find the strength to overcome. We pray for that same spirit within the church, that we may be a doorway to your grace and to your presence for others, by them coming to the church or by us going out into our community. And we certainly pray this for your creation, O Lord. That the coming year would bring an awareness and a gratitude for your grace, a coming together of your kingdom as we pray. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remind us that it's Christ our Lord who invites us all to his table who love him, all who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us take these next few moments of silence to confess our sins to God. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church and delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The bread over which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in Christ's suffering. I invite you to come forward to be reminded, to be renewed, that you are adopted, that you are redeemed, and that there are possibilities in God's grace. Let us pray. God, we thank you for being the light of the world. We thank you for the assurance that comes in knowing that we are loved by you, redeemed by you, and all things made possible through you. Indeed, nourish us through this sacred moment for a holy and good living in the year to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I ask you to stand as we join in our last song today. This is a song to remind us that we have the gift. to being the light of the world.
If I'm alone, did New Year's Eve sneak up on anyone? I don't know if it was like family was getting together, a different rhythm this year for Christmas, and maybe it's the bowl games and everything, but it's like New Year's Eve. You know, it wasn't until Cara and I tuned into the ball drop in New York. It's like, oh my gosh, we're starting a new year. With that comes new possibilities, right? Now, some of that is our mindset, fresh new calendar, resolutions, etc. But there's a whole world of possibility when we are reminded of what we have in our life because of God's presence. When we're reminded that we're a child of God. When we're reminded that we're redeemed, when we're reminded that through God all things work out, it opens a door to what God might do in our lives, what we might do in the coming year. And so I'm going to encourage you to take this prayer home with you and perhaps pray it each day. Leave it out on your bedstand, leave it out on your kitchen table, put it in a favorite bag of yours, but pray it each day that you come across it and see what God might open up in your life in the year to come. May it be so. Amen. Amen. Amen.